Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults. Also, the views expressed in Those Damn Ross Kids do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves.
Let's button it up.
Make sure that there's nothing else I wanted to say. Yeah. Carl Rove, he wants me to say all this stuff. I'm not saying it.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Is it game time?
I think it's game time. Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
It's episode number 40. 40. Those Damn Ross Kids? Of Those Damn Ross Kids?
No, it is episode number 39. Oh, no, it is episode 40.
I was going to say, did I miraculously make and then record a podcast?
It is episode 40. You passed my test.
Oh, good.
This is a comedy podcast and lucid dream guide. I'm going to please ask you to sit down on the waterbed couch and look at that snake. Don't worry. His teeth is hair. And your grandma is quickly morphing into gummy bears.
I hope you listened last week. We asked you to bring your own scalp massagers.
Hey, Chris, do you have a story for me?
Do I have a story for you?
Do you? That's what I asked you.
What to begin with?
I don't know.
What to begin with? I know. We're going to keep it sort of close to home.
Okay.
I don't know how it works in the rest of the country, but I know here in the Midwest, the mid and late summer are a popular time for county and state fairs. Do these exist still in other parts of the world?
I think that they do, but I think that it really is the specialty of the Midwest and the South Mid areas.
Yeah.
The Mid-South.
Sure. Yeah, the Upper Middle South.
Yeah, the Upper Middle South.
Oh, good. Who knew? Anyway, this guy named David Warner got himself arrested for driving drunk in a demolition derby. Which he won, by the way.
Of course.
The 36-year-old Kentuckian was competing in the Jessamine County Fair Demolition Derby when cops got several complaints about his driving.
Well,
the police detained him. The police waited until the event was over to check him and said that he was staggering and having trouble standing up. So they gave him a sobriety test and arrested him for DUI.
I mean, that seems to be a redundancy. Is there any other way? I mean, because I would imagine that you would be more likely to be injured if you were in a demolition derby sober, right? You got to get loosey goosey.
I think so, but I think that you would expect like the swift, firm hand of justice to come down in the court system, but I think that the firmest punishment that's being enforced here was actually from the county fair president. When he was quoted as saying, that young man has no future here as far as events. He will not be allowed to participate in any event on these fairgrounds.
So let's be fair here. In Kentucky, the county fair magistrate actually has jurisdiction and precedence over any other government figure short of the president of the United States. He decides what can be fried.
He's probably the judge and the abortionist.
He's the judge, abortionist, and sexecutioner.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yep, he only performs on Thursdays.
He decides what can be fried, which animals are allowed to have how big of a ribbon and what color, and he makes sure that there are no more than 32 teeth between all of the staff members.
Yeah, the village saloon is where he does his,
The sexecuting?
The sexecuting, yes.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, has delicious squirrel egg Thursdays.
Yeah, get them all nice and fried up. Squirrel kebabs.
Yeah. Warner, David Warner, the guy, the drunk guy.
Yeah.
He said that he was plenty sober, at least sober enough for a demolition derby. He did admit to, and I quote, having a few beers, you know, to loosen me up. I mean, I'm not denying I wasn't drinking by no means, but I was not drunk. I was under the limit. What is the limit for demolition derby drunk driving?
I think it's 1.0.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, Chris, buzz demolition derbying is the same thing as drunk demolition derbying. Wait a minute, have you seen the new new like slogan for making sure that people keep their seatbelts on?
Click it or ticket?
No, that one was good because it rhymed. No, the new one is like, wear your seatbelt or I'll pull you over.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not the one I voted for. Was this the one that you voted on?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I voted for buckle up. Seriously, we have your family.
Oh, that was my, I mean. That was a write-in.
I guess I should have.
Yeah, no.
Contacted some more people about voting for that.
Yeah, you fucked up. You backed the wrong horse. Hey, Chris, while we're talking about fair country, can I talk to you about something that happened up in Akron, Ohio this past week?
Wish you would.
I wish I would. I'll talk to you about Akron, Ohio. Well, that was where the National Hamburger Festival was held, and it ushered in a new era in fattening treats. Chris, they just invented the deep fried hamburger. The burger is cooked, put on a bun, dipped in batter, and then submerged in some sweet hot boiling oil. Said the burger's inventor, Drew Serza, quote, "We'll serve it with a side of Lipitor." Chris, how had this not been invented yet?
This
seems like the wheel, right?
It is. The Monte Cristo.
Is a Monte Cristo, is that put into a deep fryer?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's actually like ham and cheese, but it's the same thing.
But that's served with like raspberry chutney, you know?
No, it doesn't have to be. It can be served with mayo or more fried stuff.
Oh, God.
Or mayo and more fried stuff.
Mayonnaise just disgusts me.
Lay me down on a bed of cheeses.
Deep fried hamburger, Chris.
Well, what you gonna do?
Only know how to eat that thing, I guess. I don't know.
You just got to deal with it.
Deal with the fact that it exists.
Deal with that.
Just cope with it. Just like, what am I supposed to do with this information besides be depressed? When I do half of the pre-pro that I do, just like it's senseless death. Teen dies after eating cookie that had a peanut in it. You know?
Oh no. Oh no.
It's just like people dying left and right. People dying and awful, awful things being put onto earth by mankind, such as the deep fried cheeseburger.
Whenever you're feeling like you just can't deal with it,
most of the time,
you really need to think back to this episode about what I'm going to say right now and understand that you don't have it that bad.
Okay.
The people in this case that have it that bad are residents of Newport Richey, Florida. Residents of the neighborhood say they're living in constant fear and frustration because of a violent neighbor who they feel has a drinking problem. They say 52-year-old Dale McDaniel has chased neighbors down with a chainsaw and even assaulted a disabled man confined to a wheelchair by slapping him in the face with a fish. One neighbor is quoted as saying, "He's a scary person, especially when he gets violent. He's grabbed me by the throat in the past. That's not something you forget." Neighbors say not only does McDaniel have an overgrown, trash-filled yard, but he can often be seen urinating in it. He's also known to shout profanities at those who walk past his house. McDaniel said, they've had problems with me for years, and I ain't worried about it. I ain't no menace. They just don't know how to deal with me.
I'm just too real for them.
Yep.
Yeah. This is like another one of those behaviors where if it happened on TV, he'd just be the wacky neighbor. You know,
he followed it with, "You'll have to excuse me. There's reruns of Ricky Lake on."
this is my episode of Cops. There are only three of them.
Like I said when we were driving, if you are in an automobile and you are not wearing your shirt, you are guilty.
Anybody who operates a chainsaw as something other than an implement for taking apart wood, mm-hmm. they immediately go on my awesome book.
I guess
I'm just saying, like, outside of cinema, somebody who has the balls to do that, I have to give them somewhat of a pass. Not completely. This guy's definitely a menace. The only thing that was missing is like he like abuses his pets in public, you know?
No. Yeah, definitely. But just to go back to that driving without a shirt.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if people just automatically think that your ass is a cookie jar for meth, because more than likely it is. And you feel it. I know it.
Just have to make sure you get the Ziploc baggie, not the kind that opens up, because otherwise that stuff goes right into the bloodstream.
Gotta go, balloon popped.
I've got to go never sleep again. Yeah. No, it was upsetting because the story that you're alluding to, we are driving in a car together to a destination, and we saw a policeman had pulled somebody over, and this guy who was just totally tatted up. They were searching his car, and the guy was sitting on the sidewalk, and it really unnerved me because I made eye contact with him, and I kind of felt like he now has the ability to, you know, inhabit my soul just by having looked into me like that. Piercing meth eyes.
Good stuff.
Well, I mean, since we're talking about crime, not to make this the crime cast, a rash of arrests is sweeping parts of the nation, including Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, and Utah, as people are caught stealing newspapers from businesses and residences. The cause? Extreme couponing. Shoppers are doing everything they can to get those sweet, sweet deals without having to pay the modest price of entry. So we're familiar with the well-known phenomenon of meth heads stealing copper from like abandoned and occupied buildings and like raiding construction sites and stuff to sell their, you know, to sell to get their fix. But Chris, this is a whole different kind of addiction, right?
I think so.
That little dopamine shot that you get when you save 2 cents on that can of corn. Oh man.
Where?
See?
Oh my God.
It's like getting a blowjob from an angel while resting on a cloud and washing your hair. Just a nice deep shampooing while an angel goes down. A lady angel, if that's your thing. A guy angel, if you are into that thing, although I don't know why you're in heaven if you are. But yeah.
Oh. Did you just say that f***s aren't going to heaven?
In a joking way.
Oh, well then that's perfectly fine.
Hey, you know.
I mean, the fact that I had to ask kind of didn't make it feel like you were joking.
But yeah, extreme couponing.
Neither does that t-shirt you're wearing, actually. That does not in any way make me feel like you're joking. Maybe one exclamation point or maybe a question mark.
Yeah, the question mark would have been good. I would have gone with a semicolon.
Mm-hmm.
No, Chris. Extreme couponing has a societal cost.
The lowercase g in looks like a noose.
I'm walking away from this as quickly as possible.
I should really design t-shirts for funny stuff like what you like to joke about.
What did I just make you feel comfortable admitting?
But I might be a little bit f***y because I like to design shirts.
Oh, we're doing that kind of humor now. You pull down this big tome off of your bookshelf and whip it open. All right, let's start with A and work our way up through the mid M's. Man, you gotta get those deals.
I got volumes of bigotry.
You gotta hit up Buxer. You gotta hit up slickdeals.net. And you just gotta hit those circulars. Chris, can I tell
you anything like about that? Are we getting paid by those people?
No, that's fine. I'm just saying those are good sites.
I guess I'll keep couponing then.
Can I tell you something that's kind of similar to this? I'm pretty sure that the statute of limitations has passed, but this is a personal story about something like this. Back in high school, I had a friend who delivered papers. You know, he had a paper route, which was weird for an almost grown person to do. And one summer weekend, the Sunday paper had a plastic bag or a paper bag in it that was like a coupon for Chipotle. Like, walk in with this bag and we'll put a free burrito in it. Okay. hey, no big deal.
Walk in with this hole and I'll put a free me in it.
Yep. Pretty much. So what he did, this was at the beginning of summer. What he did was, he was a big Chipotle fan. On his route, he saw this. He's like, oh snap. So he went through his whole stack of papers and he took out every single Chipotle bag, delivered the papers, kept the bags. We didn't pay for a burrito that entire summer.
There you go.
Extreme couponing, Chris.
You stole the burritos.
Hey.
I'm too exhausted to segue.
Okay, so then just go for it. Go for it, Chris.
Okay. Just use one of my old ones.
That's what my license plate says. It's just go numeral four and then it with two T's. The regular go for it was taken.
G-O-P-H-E-R-I-T.
I'm a big Caddyshack fan.
Love it. Kamana Peterson, 29, said she was inspired by the Old Testament.
Who made an attempt
to perform a circumcision with a box cutter last October, sending a three-month-old to the hospital.
Oh, no.
Peterson decided to do the surgery herself after watching YouTube videos because she believed the baby was too old to be circumcised by doctors. She called 911 when the baby began bleeding uncontrollably and was in intense pain. She now has supervised visits with this baby and her three other children that are in state custody. Big government. Big government.
Chris, I think that we've gone after the wrong person here. Yes, she is misguided, but I think the real crime here is that there somehow out there exists video tutorials for how to mutilate your child's genitalia. Mutitalia. That's the messed up part. I mean, yes, this person too old to be circumcised by a doctor. Chris, if I was uncut, and you know that I am proudly circumcised.
You know, wear the
who needs it
around your neck.
It makes me more aerodynamic.
It does.
it puts a spring in my step. I'm spry. I don't have to use Q-tips in uncomfortable places. It's okay. You know, it's good. You know.
I step to the side when you're on the bike trail.
Yeah.
You're going too quickly.
But Chris, if St. Peter was still wearing his turtleneck, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can walk into a doctor and just say, "Cut it up. Cut up this dick."
No.
Did you just do the guitar line for "Walk This Way"?
I believe so.
Okay. Cut it up. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. A doctor will gladly, he'll pay you to cut up your dick.
Certain ones will.
Go for it.
Yeah. One note tab, foreskin hijacker. I should really name things.
You really should. Have I told you what my dream job is?
What's that?
My dream job is to be the guy who names the DVD chapters.
Oh, good.
The chase. The deal. Mm-hmm. Ultimatum.
Montage.
Exactly. Training montage.
Yeah.
I just thought that would be great. I think you'd be good at it, too. We could be a team. Chris, we could be the Wachowski brothers of naming the chapters on Wachowski brothers movies.
Oh, good.
Or the Coen brothers of name, they're, you know, you get it, the Dumb and Dumber guys,
the Farrelly
brothers of naming Farrelly brothers chapters. Chris, it just goes on and on. I think that we just named all
I think we might be working a dead angle here. I'm pretty sure that the brother thing has been done.
Yeah. Oh man, should we wrap it up?
Means I've been meaning to tell you something.
Oh no,
I am leaving you.
Oh, man.
We can still do the podcast, but we are not going to be brothers anymore.
Damn it, you're emancipating?
Mm-hmm. We're going to be known as the brothers formerly known as Ross, or the Rosses formerly known as brothers.
No, Chris.
Yeah.
In public?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you just don't want me to make a scene, do you? You don't care about our past? You don't care about me inheriting your G.I. Joes, even though most of them, the rubber bands in their arms were a little bit stretched out and broken?
Mm-mm.
You don't.
I don't want any of that.
You don't care about those.
I don't even remember that to begin with.
You don't care about those long afternoons of me blowing on your NES cartridges, so they would work.
You remember a different childhood than I do.
You don't.
I don't remember that.
You don't care about all those years I lived in fear of you beating the shit out of me.
No, I don't remember that.
Wow.
No.
Huh.
Should remember being left home alone a lot.
Yeah, well, you know. Latchkey.
Well, I just felt really bored. So I'd snort lines of Kool-Aid until I got angry enough to come looking for you.
And I was always in front of the Nintendo.
You were easy to find.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't move very fast.
I always thought you would cut one of those grandpa monster holes in the floor in front of the TV so you could like hide when I came.
I had like a spider hole, just to yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the monster that lived under there under the monster's staircase? Was it Rex?
Crepe.
Crepe.
Yeah.
Crepe the dog dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No,
I don't remember it. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
He was a bad puppet.
Chris, it was the 60s. Okay?
No respect for bad puppets.
Chris, this was pre-Henson days, so we have to cut them some kind of slack.
Hmm. Who knew?
Speaking of bad puppets, can I tell you a little bit about the Burger King?
Yeah, go. Begin. I've heard this, but maybe you bring something new to the table.
Well, no, I was just going to tell you the Burger King's gone.
See, I didn't understand. Yeah, I heard this, but I didn't understand. It's not called Burger King anymore?
No, it's Burger King, but the king? You know, that crazy rapist-looking...
So it's just called Burger.
It's just Burger. It's all lowercase. They put it in Helvetica, just black and white.
Burger.
Well, they used a new URL, so it's actually burg.er. You know, kind of like, you know, Delicious or you know, Last.fm or something like that. You know, if they mm-hmm. threw it in there. No, they changed their mascot. So originally it was the kids club thing, you know, with Wheels and VidKid and all those people.
Yeah, I remember them.
And now
the Wheels was black, right?
Wheels, no.
Or VidKid was black.
No, VidKid was white. Wheels was white, and there was a different black kid.
He was mulatto.
He was a quadroon.
He was a cookie with a heart.
Pepperidge Farm will not. I walk into the Pepperidge Farm store and ask him to give me an extra large sack of mulattoes, and they just
Where is this Pepperidge Farm store? I only know of the kiosk at holiday times.
Yeah. No,
is there an anchor store that is a Pepperidge Farm?
I think that like at outlet malls.
Is there some part of the country where seriously, like your Macy's or your Sears is actually just Pepperidge Farm, where they just sling as much summer sausage that they can pay rent on the end of the mall?
Oh.
Is that possible? Is there like a Dillard's with a tarp over the Dillard's that just says Farms, Pepperidge Farms?
I think so.
Yardo beef here.
I'm going to have to ask you never to say slingin' summer sausage again.
Why? Because you can't say it? Oh, wait, you just did. Never mind.
My speech impediment is cured.
Thank God. Thanks, Pepperidge Farm.
Does the Pepperidge Farm guy, does he look like Orville Redenbacher, or am I just making things up?
I don't know if there's a guy.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like if Mr. Peanut and Moneybags had a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the Burger King. Seriously, fuck that guy.
So which one's the tranny?
VidKid.
Oh!
Yeah.
I knew there was something weird about him.
Yeah, he grew up. He had a troubled childhood.
He did.
Chris, do you have a story for me?
Sure. Researchers have developed a way to fight obesity by helping people answer the question, how many bites of food are you eating? Pops in the bite counter. A wristwatch-shaped device being marketed to weight loss clinics and fitness professionals uses technology developed by a Clemson University team for the military to track body movements in clearing buildings of insurgents in Iraq. It's expected to be on the consumer market in about a year and will retail for $100. It's sort of like a pedometer for your mouth. It keeps count of repetitive physical movement. The wrist rotation necessary to move a fork from plate to mouth turns out to be the critical motion in eating. The machine counts bites with 90% accuracy. Given the fact that the average bite is 25 calories, you do the math.
What math?
How many value meals you could have bought for $100? I don't know.
No, okay, I was confused. So given that each bite is...
That's 83 JBCs, by the way.
that price raise was just a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
If it throws off my calculations.
Mm-hmm.
But God, I hate that I know that.
It will no longer be the case in Bachman's America. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, I'll have to wear the crazy cat eye contacts too.
Can I get one of those contacts that looks like bug eyes?
Sure, she does.
Fool. There's this one lady who shows up at Tea Party rallies who wears contacts that are American flag patterned.
Oh, that's great.
She's an optometrist. She is? It's unsettling. So a bite counter. So it's a bonometer for your mouth, but it goes on the wrist. So it measures hand to mouth?
Hand to mouth.
Okay. But like, don't big people take like gigantic bites too? Like, can you calibrate this for bite volume in your food cavity?
I would imagine so.
I mean, because I'm going to say, I bet a person of gravity can probably get a lot of volume in their cram hole.
I suppose so.
I think it'd actually be better if there was some kind of like harness you could put around your neck, or that would kind of put it on your ear. Like mm-hmm. like a jawbone, like a Bluetooth, right?
Like a ball gag.
Yeah, like a ball gag. You put it in
a ball gag.
You put it in there, and it measures your chews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's like a stress reducing ball gag.
Just a self soothing ball gag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
do it. Yeah, no, but like if it measured the up and down of your jaw, that would have the other thing, because like rappers could use it to count syllables to see how good their flow is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are plenty of unexpected applications for this.
True.
Well, do you know who won't be using one of those?
Somebody's dead.
No, she has no need for it. She's transcended. Chris, Suzanne Eamon. She was always big, but now she's made it her mission to become the fattest woman on Earth. She came to this conclusion after she ballooned from 300 to 500 pounds in her 20s. She then discovered a banner ad for a dating site for SSBBWs. Do you know what that stands for, Chris?
Supersized, big, beautiful women.
Oh, hell yes. Quote, I feel more confident and sexy.
We're not going to pause here and ask me why I need that.
Why shouldn't I push the limits and see how fat I can get and stay healthy? No, Chris, we're going to let that hang.
I appreciate that.
Her doctor, however, on the contrary, says, quite honestly, she doesn't seem to comprehend the medical and physical risks to her body and health. Her ultimate goal, Chris, is to reach 1 ton. She uses a scooter for all of her mobility, including going on 8-hour shopping trips, which, on average, fill about 6 carts. Was there a detail that I missed?
No, I
figured you knew you know what SSBBWs were because you read the same story, not because you were a chubby chaser.
No, it looks like you covered it. Moving on.
Okay.
So
this is the person who saw that one Simpsons episode and thought, yeah, I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to find one of those birds that pokes keys though. Do it.
Where the hell's my tab?
I don't know. Chloe, back on the story about the mouth pedometer.
Yeah,
you were talking about rappers and their flow.
Yeah,
there's a story out of Cleveland, which is the hometown of Machine Gun Kelly. He's a rapper, not a gangster. Wait, no, not a gangster. He's a gangsta rapper.
He's a gangsta. Okay.
He's not like an old time gangster.
Okay. So it's like, yeah, see?
Yeah.
I'm called Jimmy Lights Off because every time I walk in a room, I turn the lights off.
Yeah.
He's not that kind of gangster.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
He was cited with disorderly conduct after he was accused of refusing to get down from a food court table during a flash mob, which he organized for himself at a Strongsville, Ohio mall. The rapper recently signed a recording deal with rap mogul Sean P. Diddy Combs' music label. As the event began, mall management asked a group of people, including the rapper, not to stand on the table located next to a second floor railing. Seems like common sense, right?
I guess, yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
The 21-year-old rapper, whose real name is Richard C. Baker, I don't know how you get from one to the other. Don't ask. And 2 other people failed to comply and were removed from the mall. Video footage posted online shows the event drew a large crowd. Some chanted MGK, MGK, as the heavily tattooed rapper tussled with officers. On Machine Gun Kelly's Twitter, He's quoted as saying, "If having fun with my fans and bringing the rage back to my hometown means I have to be arrested, then keep pulling the cuffs out."
Is that your message? I bring the rage?
I'm bringing the rage.
I'm bringing the unhealthy anger.
I'm bringing the rage. That's all I'm doing.
I just, hey, you know what?
What are you doing loitering there? Bringing the rage? Hey, what's in that box? It's the rage.
Hey, hey guys, how's it going? I'm just going to make myself at home here. Hey, do you have a place where I can set this rage? I guess I could hold it, but it's just, it's too much to handle. So here's my question. Is flash mob now the catch-all definition for anything that the police don't like that may or may not have involved the internet?
I fear that you don't realize we're very close to Kristallnacht.
I'm just saying, like, is that our new, like, term that we're using it for? Because my concept of flash mob is like a bunch of people, like, okay, we're all going to go to this train station, and when the whistle goes off, we're all going to freeze in place, like, oh, and no, and everybody who's not into it, they're going to think we're, oh, what happened, am I in some kind of crazy Twilight Zone situation? Not like, hey, let's all go down to this place and beat the shit out of people.
Yeah. But back to Kristallnacht.
I was very pointedly taking us away from there, but continue.
But we have to go there because we're very close. we are very close. And I can tell you that no matter whether they're Democrat or Republican, the strategy of the people in charge, and I feel like I have to say this, and I shouldn't say it because I know somebody's going to come after me, but I have to say it. The fat cats in Washington are going to do Kristallnacht in wintertime to drive up consumption of fossil fuels.
Are we aware of what Kristallnacht is?
Yeah, breaking the windows. And if you do it in winter, people are going to turn the heat up.
Is this some, like, Alex Jones-level conspiracy shit? You're talking crazy.
I don't know. I drank a bunch of cough syrup.
Are you robo-tripping?
Oh, hard.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Don't worry. The snake's teeth are hair.
It tasted a lot like cherry juice. It might have just been cherry juice.
Yeah, yeah.
My throat's numb.
I go the other way. I mix Dimetapp with Four Loko.
Oh, well, good enough.
Yeah. Now, just let me mark this time down so I can take out all references to atrocities committed against the Jewish people. All right. Hey, Chris, can I lift this up?
Sure.
Okay.
Do you know how hard it is not to say the next part?
Where we belong.
Apparently you don't.
Okay. It's not hard at all.
Wasn't going to do it. Wasn't going to go there. I was going to make the easy joke.
What was the easy joke?
The singing.
Chris Beau, B-E-A-U, is a black lab who also happens to be a math whiz. His owner has trained him from a young age to be able to perform addition, subtraction, some division, and he has memorized square roots.
A dog.
Math Dog is the name of the entry in my things.app project. For TDRK 39, should have been 40, but I am retarded. Now, I was having trouble wrapping my mind around this concept of how a dog could do math, but I'll share this one anecdote, and it will pretty well clear it up. Somebody who has witnessed the dog in action said, "A group of us were standing there, and Dave, the owner, asked Bo, 'How many girls are here?' There were two, and Bo barked twice. Next, Dave asked, 'How many boys?' Bo barked five times, even though there were only four guys. Then it dawned on us, Bo is a boy, and he was counting himself."
No.
Aww.
That's adorable.
Aww. Just a little math dog.
Highly unlikely.
People are saying it's on the level. He was this close to getting on the late night talk show circuit.
Does he round or
down in Georgia? What
does he round, or is there like some sort of gesture for a decimal?
Yeah, yeah, he wags twice for a decimal.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, that's creepy. That's kind of like if a dog got up on its hind legs and started like taking drink orders.
Yeah,
you know, I just that's upsetting. It's upsetting.
Sort of like watching a bartender with no arms do cocktail style bottle spins with his feet.
Chris, that's a Tom Waits song.
Well, I tell you, Jimmy, he had no eyes, but he slung a bottle at the rest of them. Oh!
You ever been to Laos? Neither have I. But I have been to Alabama. Let me tell you a thing. Or two.
Tom Waits' voice never gets old.
Was that how he talks?
Math. Who is this Tom Waits fellow? I don't understand.
I have no idea who that guy is, but I love his hat.
It's an amazing hat. I wish I could pull off a hat. Yeah. And my head is too spherical.
Okay. A theater marquee for a poorly timed concert is drawing attention because it advertises the band Explosions in the Sky on September 11th.
They're okay. Continue.
The sign in Boise, Idaho is promoting a concert by the group Explosions in the Sky, which has the unfortunate timing of taking place on the 10th anniversary of the terror attacks in New York.
Which ones are those? Which
the ones where the what are they? The planes. They crashed into the buildings.
Into the continue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And made empty air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're clear. All right.
Nostradamus talked about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I like more than reading about current events that were predicted years ago.
Yeah.
People who made them up today.
We refer to it as the detowering. Continue.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Explosions in the Sky.
It's a little sky housekeeping.
September detowering.
Yeah. The band has had to contend with 9/11 related questions before. They released their second album in late August 2001, just before the attacks. This album was called Those Who Tell the Truth Shall Die, Those Who Tell the Truth Shall Live Forever. The album's artwork features a plane shining a light on an angel and includes a liner note that reads, "This plane will crash tomorrow." A few months later, guitarist Michael James was detained at an airport because his guitar case had a sticker with the same message.
See, that was just poor planning.
Profiling. That's what that is.
That's just profiling against people who have paraphernalia referencing terrorism. Come on.
Referencing something that they created before the attack happened.
I know, right?
Yeah.
See, I don't understand why they have had to contend with questions about 9/11, because I hear Explosions in the Sky and I think of apocalyptic imagery. Or like fireworks shows.
Funny how they're like the same.
Why September 11th specifically? I just it doesn't make any sense to me.
I think that's just when they ended up in Boise.
Oh, okay.
Should they just what can you do? Like life has to go on, right?
From what?
Were you just not going to be able to do anything on that day?
I guess. I mean,
make it a holiday. Have people stay home.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you want to do, but
yeah,
stuff's
if it's
going to
be held sacrosanct, I mean, like, oh no, my car backfired, and it reminded me of the terrible events of that fateful day.
Yeah, like I don't even know what day September 11th is this year, like day of the week, but yeah, it's a Tuesday, and more than likely, the stock market is going to plummet.
Yeah.
Can we say that? Can we say plummet on that day? It's a Sunday. Go to church. Listen to that doom. Don't think about what happened 10 years ago.
Yeah, don't think about that.
Yeah.
You know, just markets passing and continue with your lives, for God's sake. Unless you had if you had family that were affected by it, then you obviously have the right to grieve forever because that's awful. But
well, it has very little to do with the actual event, more to do with the fact that you can personally grieve about your personal loss.
I don't know. I just want to buy as many commemorative plates and coins as possible.
Gold's $1,900 an ounce, so buy it.
No, silver's the new one. The silver's the new up-and-coming precious metal.
I'm sure it is.
You know, I'm old school. I go with cesium. Just a bunch of cesium in a wicker basket that I keep next to the head of my bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm getting fitted for dentures.
Does that smell like cinnamon?
Well, it smells like burning here. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, it's
no me. Wait, that's my face.
I look like Trash Can Man at the end of The Stand.
Don't know what that is.
Okay, it's a
don't
reference.
Don't even know what that is.
Okay.
I have no idea what that is.
Explosions in the Sky. Hey, Chris, can I take you to an unrelated place that's still in our great land of America?
Sure.
Isaac Stoltzfus is a magisterial district judge in Intercourse, Pennsylvania. I looked it up. It's a real place. This is not.
I've been there.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? Did you take your picture next to the sign?
No.
I imagine that gets old if you live there, people taking pictures next to your signs. I would love to visit the Intercourse Planned Parenthood office.
Oh my God. You're not even funny. I am.
Okay.
I am funny. Oh, you are you not funny.
This is another one of those things where I say something and you laugh and I feel validated, but you say no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What'd you say? What'd you say in your mind that was so much better than what I had to
I
say?
Read something doing pre-pro about dumbasses who like take those pictures that look like they're trying to push the Leaning Tower up.
Okay.
And I thought about some sort of tourist trap kind of thing where there's like I don't know, some sort of like light material anvil that has it written on the side of it that somebody might be able to lift. And they could say that they got it up in Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Oh, man. That is a refreshing image.
I don't know.
Chris, that is like taking a big old mouthful of Fresca on a hot summer day.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. I love that.
Yep.
But back to the story, Mr. Isaac Stoltzfus.
Okay.
Judge, Pennsylvania. He was recently cleared of a misconduct charge levied against him after he gave two women hollowed out acorns stuffed with unwrapped condoms. Actual acorns filled with actual condoms. To quote from the ruling, this action doesn't qualify as a violation, but, quote, it certainly lacks good judgment and must not be repeated. The report continued, saying that Stoltzfus's preoccupation with acorns is, quote, mystifying.
I know when it started for me.
When?
When Chip and Dale packed Donald Duck's house while he was sailing.
Oh, like full of acorns?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Chip and Dale. Were they the Rescue Rangers?
Later on they were, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, it was later on. They found some purpose after their childhood of miscreantism filling people's abodes with poisonous nuts.
I thought it was a Happy Meal toys.
No, did you play the NES game? The NES game of the Rescue Rangers is amazing.
No, you were too busy blowing on it.
Yeah, acorns.
Cool, it'll work. They're my friends. Shut up.
Yeah, that stuff tasted weird after a while. Yeah, acorns. So you know that this guy was like somebody's like wacky uncle until this happened, and then his behavior was, you know, suddenly viewed in a different light afterwards. You know.
That happens.
I guess. Acorns filled with condoms. No context in the story. Nothing. Just two women. Here you go. Have some nuts. I have a whole collection, you see. Because at one point, I said, yeah, I kind of like acorns. They're kind of neat. And then somebody gave me a Christmas gift, and then I put it up on a shelf. And then everybody who came over to my house thought, oh, he likes acorns. Let's just get him that. Yes, an easy, like, quote-unquote thoughtful gift, and all of a sudden, he is choking on acorns. And in his acorn dementia, and probably in old age, I've never seen a judge who wasn't, you know, 70-plus, he decides to sexualize them and just hand it out and say, here, have one of my nuts. Oh, there's a prophylactic in there. We might be able to use that. Since this is not a video podcast, I am making an O with my left hand, and I'm taking the two fingers of my right hand, and I'm inserting it into that in a rude gesture, indicating either coitus or finger coitus.
Your left hand's a whore.
No, my right hand is a whore.
Hey, Cole, can I tell you a story?
Okay.
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, that's you say that.
Okay. Tell me a story, Chris.
I just say this. A British fisherman thought he had a big one when his pole bent and his reel screeched.
Oh, no.
But it wasn't a mackerel fish on the line. John Coldfinch snagged a scuba diver from the beach in Devon and almost reeled the diver in before his girlfriend serviced and removed the hook from her diving partner's crotch. The fisherman is quoted as saying, "The funniest thing was that his girlfriend surfaced, helped him remove my tackle from his tackle, and nonchalantly handed the hook back to me and apologized."
His tackle. Oh. His tackle. That's a euphemism for junk, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a quote. I didn't.
You know that if that fisherman got that scuba diver up out of the water and into his boat legally, he would be able to clean him on site, lacquer him, and mount him in his den.
That's probably what he was hoping for.
That is, well, you know, some people fetishize it, but
this den is spooky.
Spooky.
This is a spooky den.
This is a
on a spooky haunted podcast.
We're lucid dreaming. There's an aquarium, and instead of having a little plastic scuba diver sending up bubbles to aerate the water, it is a life-sized stuffed actual.
Scale him. I ain't got no scales.
Give me my Lycra knife.
I would love to catch John Travolta.
No, he's a pilot. He doesn't scuba dive.
I'd love to catch him, though.
he's delightful.
I don't know why you. It'd just be funny because his voice would be funny. I wish I could do his voice.
Hey, hey, over here.
Yeah, that one.
Mr. Yeah. Carter. Hey,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Bada boom.
Those
I
them.
Did you say that?
Those them Ross kids.
Yeah. You're good at that. You should keep working on that.
You're almost there, Cole. You're almost there.
So close.
So close. Hey, you know.
I heard this guy on a local radio station. I think it was a college station. And he was doing a Harry Carey impersonation. It was awful. It was awful.
And that's such an that's a pretty easy impersonation to do.
No, I think a lot of people think that it is.
No. Well, no, a lot of people it's the SNL syndrome, right? People like most impressions that people do are actually impressions of the person who does impressions of that person, right? So he probably wasn't doing like Harry Carey himself. He was doing Will Ferrell as Harry Carey, like, "Hey, and the moon was made out of asparagus. Would you eat it?"
A little bit, mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like most George Bush the first, most of those impressions are of Dana Carvey, you know, mm-hmm. Fair man, prudent, you know,
but be prudent. No.
Yeah, mm-mm. God, this is some of these jackasses they let on the radio. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Was it like a bit? Was he like genuinely thinking that he was funny?
No, he was doing a station break or whatever.
Hey, you're listening to WOHIO. We're the number one station for North Central Ohio.
Oh, that's awesome, because yeah. Now there's going to be a podcast about how awful this is.
Damn it.
Yeah.
This is like this is a fractal. Pieces within pieces.
Let's turn sideways. Let's minimize our profile. All right.
Man, Synecdoche, Ohio.
I don't think that's how you say that.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Hey, Chris, what can our viewers do? Our listeners do?
You can pop on over to duckfeed.tv/Those Damn Ross Kids. Is that correct?
That'll take you to the information and archive for this particular show, but just duckfeed.tv in general. There's some okay stuff on there, I think.
Yeah.
And from there, you can find a link to our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You can like us there and let us know what you think of the individual episodes. Both of us check that on a daily basis. Yeah. You can also look us up on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Just do duckfeed.tv in there, or do a search for our podcast name, Those Damn Ross Kids. And, you know, yeah. Leave us a review or a rating. Go ahead.
I need to clarify something. If you're a TDRK groupie and you feel that it it's okay with you to just bang a roadie, check out duckfeed.tv. But if you want the real thing, add the slash.
Yeah.
Those Damn Ross Kids.
Okay.
Yeah. Get in the bus.
Go for it. Go for
yeah.
it. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
We'll just be in there. We'll just be probably
drinking some Bartles and James, not a flavor, just the regular one.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little, you know, bottled wine spritzer, listening to Nickelback.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Photograph on repeat.
Yeah. Basically, that's yeah. That's how that works. So.
That's the vibe that we carry. And if you're down with that, mm-hmm. well, you know where to find us.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Speaking of which, where did you find that purple hula skirt?
It's so incredibly flowing.
It is.
Yeah.
It does wonders for you, for
no,
your figure.
No, it's very flattering. I like that. I like yeah. that. Hey,
uh-huh.
Hey, do you like smooth jazz?
Don't ask me. You know.
you know by the way I carry myself, my demeanor.
There's two ways I could go. I could say, okay. What you know about smooth jazz?
Chris, I am smooth jazz.
You are.
But anyway, other things that you can do aside from just carrying that
smooth that jazz thing. What?
What else can you do? What else can you do? You can check out the new podcast that we have coming up. If you are of the video game playing persuasion, go to duckfeed.tv/watchoutforfireballs or look us up on Facebook. We're starting up Mega Man X. It's like a retro game club kind of thing. Trying to get the word out about that. And in general, since I'm doing that that podcast with Mr. Gary Butterfield of Dead Idea Valhalla, check out his podcast, Dead Idea Valhalla, spelled like the Viking version of heaven where people do battle day and night. You can check out gooncast.com. That's gooncasts.com. That is a collection of podcasts done by a bunch of people from the Something Awful forums. I, in particular, am a big fan of Lou Reed's The Internet for You. And also, Actually Happening is a delightful little panel show that they do. So, yeah, that's all stuff you can do. Just helping you find some good stuff, you know?
You're going to run out of barrels before you run out of plugs.
Good night.
Bung.